He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. Let's see, we are September the 29th already. It's the September 29th Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Not sure what happened here. The Dow was up 300. Now it's down 50. Something turned around there. We're at 46,192. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, however, is, oh, by the way, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is up 193, 22,677. I don't believe that's a new all-time high. Answering the question of was last Monday the high of the market, well, we don't know yet. If it exceeds this week that old high, then it wasn't. But if it never hits that high again, then it was. And there's two types of tops in the market, and we talked about that in the newsletter over the weekend. The S&P is up 40 basis points right now. Gold is hitting a new all-time high. Man, I'll tell you what a rally for gold. Do you know how much the gold reserves of America have added? I think it's $1 trillion over there at Fort Knox.
Make
America wealthy again, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was in that trading range of like 3,500 to 3,250, and then
boom.
You called it whenever, you know, once it broke out of that 3,500 range. I mean, it's just been a rocket ship ever since.
49. Yeah. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based only nationwide firm, money management firm. And this is going to be a very active week in the market once again. You know, it'd be nice to just be passive and just report today. Your birthday's this week. You're going to turn 65. You need to move 1% more into the bond market. So you have 65%, and you need to lower your exposure to stocks by 1%. We'll talk to you again next quarter, 90 days from now. Well, you know what? I just don't buy that Kool-Aid. I have never drank the Kool-Aid, which is pretty prevalent out there on Wall Street. And I'm sorry.
It's hard to not take a sip out there, right? I mean, well, you might fall right into it.
It'd make my life a lot easier. I could just, say, here's what we're going to do in 90 days from now. I'm going fishing. All right. Well, we have a good start to the market so far. The question I asked 2 weeks ago was, is this the top? Now, I don't mean the ultimate top, the end of the bull market that began in 2009. We're talking about this little uptrend within the bull market here that began in on April the 9th of this year and has carried the market. This is one of the most torrid runs in the market that I've seen in my career, 25-year career as a professional money manager. And at some point, there will be a top to this latest rally. And we will level off, and then you're liable to see a correction, maybe 10, 20%, 15%, who knows. We take it one stock at a time. We don't know if last Monday, the markets hit new all-time highs a week ago today, and then failed to match those numbers throughout the week. So right now you could make the case that last Monday was the recent top in the market on this bull run. But we got to give it time. You know what? Every time we think there's a top, Barry, it goes on to make new highs. Well, I thought gold had made a top at 3,600 several weeks ago, months ago maybe. Maybe it's been 7 or 8 weeks. And I did cut my gold position, our gold position, in half. And I kind of regret it. We also had a big gain in Agnico Eagle, AEM, which we sold. One of the best gold stocks in the entire market. And, I got back into Agnico Eagle. Sometimes you have to admit you're wrong. You have to swallow your pride, be a man up, say, you know, I was wrong. And we did keep, though, the other half position in our gold in our portfolios. It's been the best performing asset class this year.
Yeah, and some of the momentum came out of it. I mean, it was in that range of 3,500 to you know, to 3,250 essentially for, you know, from April, end of April to September 1st. But since September 1st, you know, it's up gold is up 9.5%.
Well, my theory was that gold was moving on the fear of the Trump tariffs. And we seem to have most of the tariffs settled for now. You know, they are where they are, don't look to be moving. And I thought maybe, and gold did cool off considerably.
Right. Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, boom, shakalaka, it took off again. And I said, you know what? So here's what gold, the gold rally has lifted the U.S. reserves. Don't forget, okay, a company has a balance sheet and an income statement. The U.S. has an income statement, which doesn't look very good.
Not a great income statement.
$2 trillion in losses every year. But the income's going up and the from the tariffs, right? And we may get to $1 trillion in income and tariffs. Don't forget, too, that the capital gains are going to add a lot of income to those income statements. I think there's a lot of people in the Trump administration that understand how an income statement works. I don't think we've had many administrations in the past that had any clue how an income statement works. But there's also a balance sheet which lists what you own. Now, think about it. We own Alaska. I mean, we own Texas. We own Louisiana. We've got some pretty pretty valuable assets. We own Hawaii. And we have a lot of gold reserves on our balance sheet. And that balance sheet has gone up by one. Well, it's reached a record. Our gold that America owns is now worth $1 trillion. So I guess you could say, like I say, make America rich again, M-A-R-A. As gold hits another record and surges above 3,800 on Monday, on today, and the gold is up over 40%. As of August 31st, the Treasury held around 260 million troy ounces of gold. Wow. Now, I want them to open up Fort Knox.
Yeah, we've got to count.
They said they were going to do it,
and
I just want to make sure it's in there. But I guess they don't want to give any criminals, you know, what if that thing's hit with a missile? You know, maybe it's a decoy. Maybe we shouldn't tell. I mean, if you had your gold buried in your backyard, you're not going to tell very many people. You're not going to have a documentary on TV. This is where I buried my gold.
And it might not all be there. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, now the other reserve, the U.S. doesn't own any yet, but someday there may be a cryptocurrency reserve. Crypto shed $250 billion in value last week. But interesting to see. In fact, Bitcoin was down 5.2% and Ethereum was down 9.7% last week. Me personally, I would rather have gold in my backyard than my Bitcoin. I don't know that I can bury it because Bitcoin is not tangible. I can't hold it in my hand. That's just me. Other people disagree with me. But you know what? That's what a market is. It's a bunch of opinions, and the market decides where that price is at. Bitcoin is having a very strong recovery today. It's up over $3,000. It's back up to 113 after getting down to 109. But it's been as high as 124. Okay, so we're just going to have to see whether the sell-off in Bitcoin is over. You could say, too, when the market cools off, Bitcoin gets a lot chillier, right?
Well, it's a measure of, to me, you know, a measure of risk appetite, right, in the market.
Yes.
Where, you know, biotech has always kind of been that way, where it's,
and
you know,
small caps.
Yep,
also.
Small cap. And high P.E. ratio.
And high beta about. Stocks, yeah. And yeah. Cathie Wood's ARK funds, to me, is kind of the ultimate equities,
right.
Risk on, risk off indicator. And she had a bad week last week. I think she was down 5.6%, something like that. And it was a risk off kind of week last week. There were a couple days in particular that I think last Wednesday was kind of ugly. But now, okay, so the big news now today, I'm going to say, is will we have a government shutdown?
Yeah,
most
tomorrow,
people would
right?
never notice the difference, right, if the government shut down, federal government, that is. In fact, they might even cheer the fact, save a little money that day, a little bureaucracy that day. But it's a lot of people impacted. It would cause a lot of chaos. Trump is convening his cabinet, the Congress today. He's having several key
meeting,
people
right?
in the Oval Office to see if they can hash something out. And it seems like, at least for now, both sides are pretty much dug, feet are dug into the sand and not budging, with the deadline at midnight tomorrow. So kind of interesting to see the markets rallying in front of that big unknown, but we'll take it. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Speaking of quarters, the end of the third quarter will happen tomorrow when the bell rings.
Can you believe it? I mean, that went
yeah,
by fast, didn't it?
That was a quick quarter, and it was an excellent quarter in the markets. We're hitting new all-time highs today here at Gunderson Capital Management. The Dow's down 40 right now, but the NASDAQ hanging on to those gains. Up 190, and when I looked at who some of the leaders in the market were just a moment ago, I sent out my little blast, which I do every morning. You know, I saw Alibaba up 5.1%, Robinhood having a very good day, up over 3%. Arista Networks is up over 3%. And how about this? Our biggest position, NVIDIA, no wonder we're hitting new highs today, is up 3.2% today. So very good day. The nuclear power stocks are lagging a little bit here today so far.
Good
okay.
news with DoorDash and Alibaba, too. Both
I didn't see that.
A pretty solid day, yeah.
DoorDash, is it a, you mean
DoorDash, yeah, they had a story, I guess they've increased their partnership with Kroger, which kind of, I guess, you know, helps pull some market share from Instacart, just in terms of delivering
okay,
stuff,
yeah.
right? So just another, you know, we kind of think of DoorDash.
What was Baba's news there?
I'm not sure on that. I just that one came
it's
across
It's up 5.1%
well.
Today, so Baba
yeah.
has really taken
yeah.
off. Like I say, I made a case for Alibaba because of its trading, you know, in the
22 15. Forward PE ratio, which is
yeah, it's rising now,
yeah.
but it's way lower than Nvidia and Palantir at 233 and whatnot.
Well,
and
Procter
China,
and Gamble trades just under 22. So
well, there you go. I'd rather own Baba than Procter
so.
And Gamble in a Chinese second there. But, you know, China's also the leading index by country, I believe. It's up about 40% so far this year, and I think it's their exposure to AI, the AI race. They're definitely the main contender to the middleweight crown here with that with their AI against us.
And they had been a laggard just in general, right, in terms of their market had been a laggard really since COVID. And so finally, you know, kind of, I think, in terms of investment, kind of getting back in vogue a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And so anyways, that's good news there on Baba. I did use DoorDash on Saturday. I had two Primo Hoagies delivered to
yeah,
the front door.
It's a good sandwich.
$3.50.
Yeah.
I thought, I can leave writing my newsletter and drive over to Primo Hoagies and pick up a couple of hoagies. That's 45 minutes out of my day.
It's tricky getting out of that parking lot too. I don't, you know, it's yeah. You got to, you know, risk your life out there on 17 coming out of that.
Yeah,
you know, right,
it's a dangerous
only,
U-turn.
It is.
And I figure, look, I make $10 an hour. That's what they pay me, and I figured for $3.50, you know, that's worth. It's worth it to have it delivered to my door for three, and then yeah. I tip the guy, you know. I got a tip. I'm a good tipper.
It's a quality sandwich, too. So.
That's a good sandwich. You know, I think it's the best. All right. Now, oil. Oil cannot sustain a rally. We own one oil-related stock. We own LNG, which is the blue chip number one play on liquid natural gas. And it just really has not done anything this year. The oil stock. In fact, I read the oil execs are getting a little anxious with President Trump. He was supposed to be the drill baby drill guy, but with oil at $63 a barrel, I mean, that's good for the consumer and the economy, but it's not good for the oil patch.
I was curious if we've been filling back up the oil reserve.
I would think so at $62 a barrel.
Yeah.
BP approves a $5 billion project off the U.S. Gulf Coast. Okay, now that Biden made that off limits. The Gulf of Mexico or the Gulf of the United States, whatever you want to call it, depending whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, that's how you call the, you know, politics has gotten into everything, even on maps now, Barry.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll call it. We'll call it the Gulf off of the U.S. and between the U.S. and Mexico. $5 billion project, which Biden made that all off limits, right? They tried
well,
to
BP
get...
actually, yeah. I mean, growing up on the Gulf Coast right there, BP had a bad oil spill. And,
yes.
And you know, that was you know probably what, I guess, maybe you know, 15 years ago now. I'm thinking,
yeah.
Trying to go back in my head maybe a little longer.
And the crabs.
Right. And so I'm surprised that BP is the one who actually has the deal.
And it was which offshore drilling? Not Weatherford. It was I can't think of it was one of the big offshore.
Not Baker
drilling.
Hughes.
No. And it was their equipment that it blew up. And
Not Gemini? It was something like that.
I'll think of it in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another macro target. I put out my macro target every Saturday. That's important because that drives the bus. That's the driver of the bus. The seats behind the bus are the sectors and the stocks and the asset classes, but the driver of the bus is the market, which is 80% of the move. So you take a day like today where the market's up, well, most of the stocks are going to be up. Brian Belsky, who I like, he's more of a technical strategist. From my experience of watching him over the years, he was with First Trust, I think, for many years, or Oppenheimer, or one of those. Now he's with BMO, which is Bank of Montreal. He lifts his S&P target price to 7,000 and calls 2025 a bull run. And, you know, I raised my target price a little bit 2 weeks ago, and I'm pretty close to that, so... I must not be too crazy. You got a guy like Belsky. And that's pretty much been, you know, these ones that have come in recently from Goldman Sachs, these targets and others, have been up around that 6,800 to 7,000 range. And we're currently down at 6,600 in the S&P. So they're saying that the earnings expectations can support a higher market. The issue we're having right now is not earnings, it's the multiple. It's the multiple on those earnings, which is approaching 23 forward P.E. ratio. And the P.E. of the S&P is 27. We hit 30 back in the sugar high year of 2021. So that 30 could be something to watch also as a... maybe an indicator of a top in this recent run if we get up to a P.E. of 30. We'll just see. We take it a day at a time. Eli Lilly upgraded at CFRA. You know what? I still say that's a miracle drug. Anybody who has ever tried to lose weight and has failed at it with the counting of the calories and the exercise. You'll lose weight. I've seen too many testimonials of people that have lost 40, 50, 60, even 80 pounds with a simple shot in the stomach once a week. It's a miracle drug, and I just don't see how Lily can't be a long-term winner over time. We'll be right back. And I wonder what it's good
for. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, office space is making a comeback in San Francisco. That's hard to believe. Now, I used to love going there, before COVID and downtown San Francisco went way downhill. And I don't know that it'll ever come back to what it was, but it was one of the great places. It still is a great place to go, but I used to go up there from San Diego when I was working at a firm in San Diego, and I covered some stocks as an analyst and would visit some mutual funds, Franklin Funds I would visit, and GT Global and Polynews and several hedge funds. And the buzz there downtown, Barry, was like the buzz that we saw in the Silicon Valley, last 2 weeks ago. And when the market closed at 1 p.m., oh, boy, all of the restaurants around there and everything, there was a real buzz. There was a buzz in the morning. Traffic coming in, the cable cars, the fog starting to burn off. You know, it was just a great spot.
And you had Intel, cash in the cash register, right? While we were there, that was unique. ByteDance was doing the deal. I saw their one of their buildings.
With TikTok
there, and of course they were in the middle of doing the TikTok deal. So
Tesla was cranking out humanoid robots. while we were there. But anyways, AI needs more humans. Well, I could have told you that. You know what? I have AI built into my app, but I still drive the bus of that AI engine and make the final decisions, not AI. But the AI company demand for people jolts the San Francisco office market, which has suffered from the highest availability rate in the nation.
Wow.
And that's not just because people working from home, but it's also, what the political leaders let San Francisco become, and kind of looking the other way, and if anything, kind of encouraging it and feeling sorry for the homeless and whatnot. And it really changed the dynamics, unfortunately. We used to go stay at the Sheraton Palace downtown. Oh, my gosh, what a beautiful place. And all the great restaurants and everything. But anyways, AI is helping out. San Francisco has long anchored the Silicon Valley ecosystem. And the city once again is at the forefront. So who knows, maybe on one of our trips to the Bay Area, which we plan to make several next year, we'll be downtown San Francisco. I know a couple of my grandkids would certainly love to go along on that trip.
Right.
So anyways, it's turning the corner, which is good. I like to see that, the office. How about Electronic Arts going private in a historic $55 billion leveraged buyout deal led by private equity firms? I'll tell you, the two big ones these days, Silver Lake has really become a big, big private equity firm. And then Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, they must play a lot of Madden football over there in Saudi Arabia. That's what I think of when I think of EA.
I mean, my kid, my you know, we've got the two younger boys, the 13 and 11-year-old. Yeah, I mean, Madden, and I think it's FC 26, which is a soccer game. You know, any and every sport game, it's always EA Sports shows up on the screens.
And also The Sims. Do they play The Sims?
No, that, no, they don't. They don't. They're not into that one.
Okay,
but I do remember. I mean, I remember that title years and years ago. Early computer games, actually.
Yeah, now, you know, I can remember when these computer game companies. I can remember when EA was one of the hottest stocks in the entire market, and they were hiring people. And really, that's where NVIDIA cut its teeth, was with their graphics cards.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the biggest leverage buyout in the history, $55 billion, and then they're going to take it private. And then Affinity Partners is another one, and that's led by CEO Jared Kushner, son-in-law of President Trump. It represent roughly, let's see, J.P. Morgan also is in on the deal. So the stock is up, I think, 20 or 25% today. It's also a big deal for Goldman Sachs. They'll earn a lot of fees in a deal like that. Taiwan Semiconductor dismisses reports of Intel partnership. Well, Intel has been a very perky stock recently after being dead in the water for years. And Intel first got the investment from the U.S. government. It finally broke above that $27.50 area and is now at $34. It's added $7 a share, or about 25% to its value here. And then while we were in the Silicon Valley, the investment by NVIDIA into Intel also made the news, and Taiwan Semiconductor today is denying that they are making an investment in. I'm sure they look at Intel as much more of a competitor, which I would think NVIDIA would too, but NVIDIA obviously sees something in Intel that they think could add, and of course they invested in Intel.
Yeah, I mean, they had $84 billion in cash. They invested $5 billion, and I mean, at worst, right? I mean, it kind of, you know, number one, it may help at least spread out some of their you know, some of their concentration in terms of supply chain, right? Being, you know, basically fully you know, stuck with Taiwan Semi at the moment, and so that could help.
Yeah.
Also, I think it kind of gets, you know, gets them in the good graces, right, of the administration in terms of, hey, we're, you know, we'll help out with the Intel deal. Right?
It's also important to remember that when you own NVIDIA, which is up 3.2% today, you own a piece of OpenAI, Intel, and all the other investments, Databricks, whatever else.
I mean, and they've been investing in a lot of, you know,
a lot.
Healthcare, AI. I mean, they're really, to me, kind of, you know, almost like building their own ecosystem to a certain extent, trying to be in all parts of, you know, potential uses of AI. And so
it helps to have a hoard of cash. You can make a lot of money if you have a hoard of cash, okay?
Money to make money. Right?
It takes money to make money. Now, I don't talk about penny stocks too often, but every once in a while, I'm especially interested in the rare earth sector right now. And I saw this one. I actually added it to the Best Stocks Now app. And it does trade on the pink sheets, Lodestar Metals. But what caught my eye was it's in Nevada. And Nevada, we're finding out through MP Materials, which is there on the Nevada-California border, Mountain Pass. Mountain Pass has drawn investments from the U.S. government, and the Apple made a big investment in them. So I just looked at this Lodestar Metals, SVTNF. I said, this is 5 cents a share, but it's up like 400% this year. So just for fun, Raspberry. I added it to the app. And from time to time, who knows, maybe it'll be a dollar. Maybe it'll be 8 cents someday, a double. I don't know. But we'll follow that one.
Keep an eye on it.
You never know. You know, people buy lottery tickets. They bet on 99-to-1 shots at the harness races and stuff like this. So why not? Barrick names Hill, interim president, CEO, as Bristow departs. Well, Barrick is the blue chip stock. And, you know, when you're looking at the gold markets, you can own the physical gold, which America apparently has $1 trillion. Now, that's not counting the gold under the ground in America that hasn't been mined yet. I mean, how much is in Alaska, for instance, that has not been brought out of the ground yet, still looking for it, and other things. But you can also own the stocks of the gold miners. They seem to be a little more leveraged than the price of gold itself. And Barrick has been one of the best performing stocks in the market this year. It's hitting a new all-time high. It's now a $59 billion company. Been around for a long time. They're headquartered in Toronto, and they have a new CEO. There's a lot of good gold stocks. Agnico Eagle is a good gold stock, AEM. That's the one we own in the Ultra Growth portfolio. And Newmont also is a very large gold player. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about the father of the Space Force. He now has a link with one of the quantum computing companies. And Israel has got one heck of a defense stock that has been a very good performer over the years. And we've got some earnings today from Carnival. Have you taken a cruise lately? We'll be right back. You got to go where you want to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kidar, chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And other stocks in the news, IonQ. Now, we don't currently have any quantum stocks are out there on the horizon. Okay. I mean, you got to look way out on the ocean right about when you lose
pick
the line of
pick
sight.
The right one. Right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ships out there, IonQ and Quantum this and Quantum that and what's Rigetti Computing. They had a good week last week. But that's the Cathie Woods territory, right? Those are considered, what does she call her? Innovation. But I also say they're long-term. There's no earnings on the horizon. Hopefully your ship will come in someday and the earnings will be there. But in the meantime, you know, stocks like this belong in our... I created a portfolio for basically every kind of category of stock that I personally like. I like proven big winners over the years in the large caps, right? That eliminates the Johnson & Johnsons. At one time they were, but not anymore. Time has passed them by. Today it's NVIDIA, and it's, you know, Lilly and others that have replaced them, okay? And then I like one step below that, the wannabes that want to become those big cap stocks, past that $100 billion mark in market capitalization. That's been a very fertile area of the market since we created the portfolios for Seeking Alpha back on January 1st of 2019. The ultra growth has done the best by far because there's a little more inefficiency there. In that part of the market, those stocks aren't as owned as the big guys are, the Metas and whatnot of the world. And I really love that area of the market myself. And you can look at the performance of that since January 1st, 2019. And then you go down below that one step, and we created the value, the relative value, which you've got something that's maybe out of favor right now that once was a best stock now. AMD falls into that category. Chipotle follows into that category. We picked Alibaba up when the PE got down to about 13. We've made some really, really nice buys in that value. I funded that with $100,000, and that is the model, okay,
right,
for that portfolio. So I know exactly where it's at any given point in time by just looking at that portfolio that I funded it with, and I'm very pleased with it so far. And then the fourth one down the line is the emerging growth. It is up 30% so far this year. This is a year, I mean, that has favored a lot of little. This is where you're going to find Oklo, Nano Nuclear that want to build these small modular reactors. You don't want to have 50% of your retirement in this area. But 5%, and Barry decides
and
those allocations,
from, yeah,
right?
Right, and they benefited from, obviously, from multiple expansion as well, right?
Yes, because, multiple
valuations.
Interest rates, a favorable interest rate environment with an easing cycle by the Fed. But
and
I would also
right
say,
places.
Yeah,
being
there's
the
been
right
a
places.
Lot of innovation in rare earth. I mean, one of the big winners that's
MP.
Carried that portfolio is MP.
Right.
We found out what the 17 rare earth minerals are and how important they are and how important it is for America to have access to those minerals. They're in a lot of different elements, a lot of different things. So we have that. And then, of course, the fifth portfolio is an individual bond fund where, you know, that to me is way better than owning a bond fund. You're saying, well, you've created a bond fund. Yes, but we own the, you know what the individual bonds, exactly what they're going to do, when they're going to come due. Unlike a bond fund, which is, those have vastly underperformed the market. They've done terrible. Over the last 10 years, bond funds have averaged 1% to 2% a year. And I'm, hate to say it, but that's probably 50% of America's retirement money is tied up in bond funds because of that asset allocation model that we take shots at all the time because it's mostly based on age. And we just believe that there's many more factors out there than age that impact a portfolio, a tactical portfolio. That's what we call it. We're more tactical than... You're 64 years old. You're going to be 65 next month. We got to up your bond portfolio to six. We're going to buy some more of this bond fund that's averaged 1% or 2% over the. Look it up. Look up AGG. Look up BND. These are multi-billion dollar, $100 billion bond funds. Look up the Vanguard bond fund and look at the 10-year track record. That says it all for me. It's very, very mediocre. And you could say, well, won't the next 10 years be good? Well, I don't see why. I mean, you know, they've got a 10-year track record. The golden age of bonds funds was from Jimmy Carter years of 19% interest rates down to 1%. And during that period of time, Bill Gross became the biggest bond fund, biggest mutual fund manager out there with the PIMCO opportunity. But we don't have that kind of possibility going from 19 down to 1. The best we can do is go from 4.5 or 4.25 down to 1, maybe, and I don't see that happening. So I don't see this as being a very good market. But safe money, individual bonds, what do you call them? Alternative investments? They're liquid.
Liquid,
you know the value of them every day, unlike a non-traded REIT or whatever. So that's my little spiel on the portfolios that we manage. And we mix and allocate. We put together an asset allocation for you, but it's a custom one built with our custom funds that we've created. All right. To get an appointment with us, we're busy getting back to everybody we met with, 30 different people, couples, people, during those one-hour sessions we had, break-off sessions with individuals on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 weeks ago. We're getting back to everybody there. And it doesn't, you don't have to have met with us. You listen to the show, give us a call, set up an appointment with us, get a plan in place, an allocation in place. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, anywhere in America. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.